All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you are blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's declare God's word together as we begin to study. What we are doing is activating the power of God to give us understanding. R.B. Time calls it the grace apparatus for perception. Do you like that? It's called the grace apparatus for perception. The expression itself is confusing, but if you have the grace apparatus for perception, you will understand the meaning of the grace apparatus for perception. Are you getting my point? What he means is that everybody can understand the word of God. So please turn to one person and give him information about yourself. Are you getting my point? Catch one person and preach to the person in case he doesn't know you yet. All right? The Lord is good. All right, now I want you to declare it like you are activating the grace apparatus for perception. Now, want to let us go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 That's very convincing. Give me another amen.
Amen.
Today, understanding has come to you again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That confusion of soul is declared gone in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you are standing, as you are sitting here today, because you have come here today, or you have tuned to this channel on, you know, the internet, or you have put on this message to listen to, for that reason, for that act of faith, God will fill you with insight in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's settle down. Let's get into the teaching. Okay, so true service of God, that's what we have been looking at, and I want us to continue again. We have, in fact, I don't know whether we're going to finish that before this year is over. I'm not in a hurry. It's one of the most important things that Christians must understand. And that's why we have been taking time out to go through it again step by step, here a little and there a little, so that the people of God can have understanding. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm just going to go straight there because we have read that context many times. 1 Peter chapter 2. It said, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, for once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. There was a time your name was, you have not received mercy. But now this is the situation, you have received mercy. And that is what we are looking at. What do we mean by this? The last two messages, I believe they are very, very crucial. Important doctrines that we established looking at that. Looking at this particular thing, the last two times we spoke on this subject. And that is the fact that we are the ones that God explains himself through. We are the demonstration of God's righteousness. If something is wrong, if something is right, if God wants to show that what he's doing is correct, the way he does it is through the people of God. I hope you're getting my point. We said that God sometimes will look at somebody that looks evil and does not punish the sin that he committed. Why? Because he offered a blood sacrifice. And the same God established that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So why did he not punish that person, even though the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins? God's righteousness in that he did right must be explained. And that was explained when Jesus came. We read that from Romans chapter 3. That when Jesus came, we read around verse 25 and verse 26, that the coming of Jesus was the demonstration of the fact that God was right when he overlooked sin. It's not as if the sin, because sin was stored up and it was not punished. His indignation did not come against some people's sins because they claimed they repented. They claimed that they have offered a sacrifice. And we said that, okay, that does not solve the problem. Jesus said, and God said, don't worry, the problem is solved. And how was it proven to be right? When Jesus came and made an atonement, and that atonement covered the sins of previous generations, we said, ha-ha, God is righteous. We also saw from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that it says we are also the demonstration of his righteousness. What does that mean? That one we read all the time. Him that knew no sin, he made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We say, what does that mean? That when they look at us, they say God is righteous. So when Jesus, who was an impeccable Lamb of God, he was not a lamb actually, he was just a person who was going about his personal business, it looked like. Then he was taken, okay, and sacrificed for sins he did not commit. That was unjust. That was not right. But you have to demonstrate that God was right. Okay? And how did he do it? He said that we are the demonstration of the fact that God was right. Do you follow my point? That is, you look at people that did not have mercy. Now they have received mercy. You say, why? He said, you see, that's what I was doing when I was punishing Jesus for doing nothing. Actually, I was punishing Jesus for their sins that they might receive the blessing that Jesus deserved. The angel said, okay, that means you were right. You knew what you were doing. Are you getting my point here? You've been to a man before, maybe a doctor, all right, or an engineer or a technician somewhere. He was supposed to work on something on your car and then or your body or whatever it is. Initially, you're worried that doesn't know what he's doing. But then when he's done, he said, okay, he knew what he was doing. I remember, of course, just as an illustration, once when I was a medical student, we were in clinic, and the ear, nose, and throat clinic, and our lecturer was teaching, and a little girl came, and she was going deaf. She couldn't hear. Of course, the mother was frantic. You could see the worry on her face. And then the man now just turned to us, and just smiled and said, let me make it short. It's a simple case of, he gave us the name of the condition. That's not a big deal. It's very common in children of this particular age. Instantly, the mother began to smile. Are you getting me? Okay, but this is where I'm going. You now gave her some drops. No, you now wrote a prescription that you are going to go to the pharmacy. They will give you these drugs that drop it in her nose 3 times a day. Ah, excuse me, sir, you forgot. We came with hearing problem. Do you get the point? And the man said, oh, no, don't worry about it. We know. I know it's the ears, but drop it inside the nose. I want the head lifted, drop these things at the back of the nose, and let it trickle down. Do that like 3 times a day. And he turned to those of us who were young students, and he explained the principle behind drop it in the nose. Now, if you have ear problems, and the doctor says, drop it in the nose. Just by the way, some patients are so stubborn. I've seen them many times. They will leave that place. I say, I don't understand. I better bring your ear. Yeah, they do it all the time. Patients. They are fantastic human beings. Now, so assuming that, so this particular, it looks odd. But you know, after a few days, the girl's hearing will begin to clear. All right? Now, for those who are wondering why, let me teach you some anatomy. The truth is that what is blocking the ears from hearing well is at the back of the throat. Yeah, that's the reason. So, in case you are wondering, okay, but because it's not Osa Heba and it's not, you know, the way doctors do things slightly different. Okay, we follow. That's why we have spent the first few years in school learning the way things work. Normally, they take a body and dissect to pieces to show everybody this is where things are arranged. So, the thing blocking the ears actually was not inside the ear. It opens into the back of the throat, a canal in the ears. Open to the back of the throat, and something there sometimes swells and blocks the canal, and then the ear, you know, gets filled with fluid. That's why the little girl is not hearing. So his idea was that put this thing, it will shrink that obstruction, and that thing will clear up. Now imagine that this man, the woman is confused. Why do I come with ear problem? You give me something to put in the nose. And the man said, just obey me, have faith. After a week, when the girl starts hearing, it is called the demonstration of the righteousness of that doctor. Are you getting my point? Him that did not come with sickness, you made to take medicine. That, are you getting what I'm trying to say? The nose did not come with sickness, but you put medicine in the nose that you might remove the sin inside the ear. And what is the demonstration of your righteousness? The girl that recovers and she's hearing well. Are you getting the point here? So when Jesus came and he died without any sin in him, yet he died the death of the sinner. It didn't make any sense. It was an assault on the righteousness of God, God's sense of justice, because he's the judge of the whole earth. So the angels wondered, what are you up to? And then when they saw you, and then when they saw me being renewed, are you getting my point? When they saw a man like Saul that should die, becoming the apostle of the Lord Jesus, when they saw people who were given up as being dead, and they saw them brought back to life, when they saw sicknesses healed, when they saw people transformed, they saw the curse of Noah vanish. They now looked at God and said, yes, we knew it, but now you have proven it, that you know what you are doing. That God knows what he's doing is what is called his righteousness. Let's get these things clear. Those terminologies have real meaning. It means that you and I are the justification for everything that God did to the Lord Jesus. And what am I trying to say here? So we have the duty to cooperate with him in life, to walk in such a manner that the world will know that Jesus did not die in vain. That's why I said you fight slavery of all kinds. Don't let the world buy your destiny. Jesus died for that destiny. Are you getting my point? You must understand it. What you are doing, no, you're not living for yourself. You are living for him who died and rose again on your behalf. That I must show that he didn't waste his money. Can I use that expression? Spiritual money.
Yes.
It's like maybe your father wasn't rich, your mother is not rich, and then they struggled, got money to send you through school. And somebody now said, come, let's run and go and play one kind of rough play. He said, no, I know what my father has suffered to make me come here. He said, sorry, I'm not doing that. That I might make sure that his suffering is not in vain. That's what our life is. God said, make sure that the suffering of Jesus in your life is not in vain. If he says this is your portion, like I say all the time, if I find something in the book, that is the Bible, I tell God, even if it's not important to me, I want to experience it. Why did you write it there if you don't want us to experience it? Once it's written there, let's experience it. I like one thing Ken Hagin would tell some people he's ministering to. They said, don't worry, don't worry. Maybe an old woman. She's sick, she has cancer, eating her all over. And they come to pray. He said, don't bother praying. I've served the Lord. I'm 78 years old. I think I can die in peace now. Ken Hagin would say to her, Ma, you can die if you want to die. I have no problem with your dying. But I just refuse for you to die like this. And I want you to be with me. Refuse that you will die this way. Let us pray. You get healed. After you have gotten healed, then fall down and die. Are you getting my point? It's not a problem. But right now, we are going to prove that Jesus died for your sickness. And he will begin to share the word of God. First of all, I have two of those stories that he told, all right, in mind. In both cases, he will preach God's word to these people until they accept that, yes, let's go for it. Then he will continue to preach the word of God to them until that word acts upon. It doesn't teach them anything fantastical. Like, say after me. No, just explains. Listen, Jesus died. This sickness has been taken away. And as they begin to accept it, and they begin to believe it, and they start looking forward to a new life, the sickness starts dissolving. And we're not talking about small sickness, though. Not malaria. Not this funny typhoid fever all over Nigeria. The real typhoid doesn't even know what we're talking about. This, you know, there's joke typhoid. I'm talking about what we call typhoid. This is a real sickness. Cancer. Eating people's body up. Doctors said we can't treat anymore. Go home and die in peace. Yet, the sickness will melt away as the word of God is coming into the person's life. And many years after, 10 years, 15 years after, the old woman that said, it's okay, let me die in peace, now realizes that life is possible after being healed of cancer at the age of 70-something. At the age of 85, still going around preaching the gospel. What is that called? The demonstration of his righteousness. I hope you are getting my point here. That's what our life is about. That's what we've been looking at. All right, so the Lord is good. And please, let me just encourage everybody. Make sure that's how you are living your life. You are living your life in such a manner as to prove that God is righteous. There's something I said last time. Let me say it again. Every decision you make in life, you are making a statement about your God. God cannot be seen. That's why his name is always attached to people. You read the whole of the Old Testament. He always looked for whose life to attach his name to. The God of Abraham. He managed that for some years. Then he added the God of Isaac. Managed that again for some years. Added the God of Jacob. Managed that for some years and called himself the God of Israel. Managed that for some years. Then finally, the Lord Jesus appeared. And he got a new name. Two new names there. One, God the Father of our Lord Jesus. And Paul called him his second name, God our Father. These are the two names. That is, the same way he attached himself to Abraham, the way he attached himself to Isaac, the way he attached himself to Jacob. It will surprise some people. I hear many people teach. They don't teach it complete. God drops those people's names. I don't know whether you're getting my point. God doesn't call himself the God of Abraham anymore. He doesn't. He doesn't call himself the God of Isaac anymore. He does not. It will surprise you. People, you know, the way we see shout, God of Abraham, he doesn't like it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Is he wrong? Is he evil? No. Just inferior. You know the way it is. You've seen people write their degrees. The man goes to school, he gets a BSc. He writes his name. The Ogbuntarigi of Nigeria, BSc. Are you getting my point? Then he goes gets an MSc. He writes BSc, MSc. Then one day he gets a PhD. He drops the BSc, drops the MSc, and just writes his name, Ogbuntarigi, PhD. You see it everywhere. Everybody knows that for him to have a PhD, he must have gotten a BSc and an MSc. So now, the BSc is not wrong, but it's inferior to what he has now. God of Abraham is not wrong, but it's inferior to his current name. He's proud of the name he has right now. That's why you read the Bible. Only once in the book of Acts, when Peter was telling story to Jews, did he call him the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. After that, Paul didn't make that mistake. Every time, he called him God our Father. What does that tell you? The thing he brags on now is that he's your father. So you don't live anyhow. You are representing somebody. The way he was called the fear of Isaac, now he's called your father. I hope you're getting my point. Remember, he was called what? The fear of Isaac. In the same manner, he says, now, I am being called your father. So be careful you don't go out and disgrace me. You know the way we say it? Don't disgrace your father. That's the work of God we are talking about. Everywhere you go into politics, you sit on the table, just realize, whatever you do here will be ascribed to your God. You are a husband. The husbanding principle is ascribed to your God. The name he bears now is not God of Abraham. Let me tell you why it's not God of Abraham. It's not as if he hasn't forgotten Abraham. Abraham is a nice guy. He's still there. Abraham's bosom. There are places named after Abraham, even the spiritual realm. Okay? But the truth is this. He looked and said, we used Abraham to bring something superior to this earth. And your ancestors, in quote, natural descent now, they did not know who Abraham was. So it's not relevant to him anymore. What is relevant is that your life must describe his character. It must describe his nature. I also said something last time. Let me say it again. Listen to this. Any decision you make in life must reflect the integrity of his word. You must show that you believe it. That is a very important thing in this life. Any decision you make in life must never contradict his word. Otherwise, you are undermining his integrity. If God says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, you live your life like that. You live it like that. If he says to you that we are one body, if you are pastor, founder, general overseer of your own mission, don't ever forget, there's one Father, one baptism, one Spirit, one Lord. We'll study that on Tuesday. You are the general overseer, founding superintendent, metropolitan bishop of your denomination. It's important you bear it in mind. When you are making decisions in that church, if you don't want God to kick your candlestick out of his place, you must never undermine that thing called the body of Christ. There is one body, one Spirit, one baptism, one hope, and one Father who is over all. Everything we do in life must establish, are you getting my point? The integrity of his word. It must. That's what we're talking about. So that's where we are. Let's continue from that point. So that's why we read this. Have we read it? Did we read anything just now? Okay, all right. So that's what we've been explaining. Now we're continuing from that particular point to establish the fact that, if I let just read them, there are two scriptures I'd like to read. It always helps me to make a point. Let's see what he said. Well, there are two. Which one do we read first? Let's read the one from the book of Revelations first. Then we'll go down to one of the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ. This one, I particularly like the expression of it in the King James Bible, because you use the word, the kingdoms. So the kingdom of this world, chapter 11. I'm going to read it in the one I'm using now, and then also in King James English. It says, verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. Now, if you read that in the King James Bible, there's an expression, the way you use it there is this. This is the expression. It said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. I like that kingdoms. There's a particular reason. Some will tell you that is the right one. I don't know which one, but there's a reason why I like that kingdoms, the plurality of that expression. If you go down to one of the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's just open to anyone. Look, let's say Matthew chapter 4. Just open to any one of them. I just want to quickly, look, anyone. Choose anyone you like. I just want to look at the temptations of the Lord, that is the one that Satan tempted the Lord there. Now you see what he said to him in verse 8. I'm using the New American Standard. It said, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms. Did you see that? Of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, I read this to let you know that one of the things that the devil tempted the Lord with was the kingdoms of the world. And I like that plurality there to show that the world has many kingdoms. Now, you must understand that the way things are structured in the world changes from time to time, but the principle remains the same. Here, maybe they were looking specifically at geographical kingdoms. For example, you had the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah. You had maybe Syrian kingdom, all right? The Assyrian had their own. The Babylonian had at the time. And then the Romans were the ones ruling at this particular point in time. That is one aspect of it. So different geographical jurisdictions existed. But apart from that, there are other kingdoms also that exist even within each particular area. If you've read books like The Seven Mountain Prophecies, is that the name of the book? Seven Mountain. You sure it's mountain? Not Seven Hills. Okay. Okay. Now, they will talk about how the social structure of life has different mountains. So there's one of education. There's a mountain of entertainment. There's a mountain of maybe governance. There are different areas, all right, which we can use this expression, kingdoms, to explain at this particular point in time. We can use the expression kingdoms to refer to them. That is, there is a kingdom, all right, in trade. There's a kingdom in trade. There's a kingdom, all right, in healthcare. There's a kingdom in entertainment. There's a kingdom in education. All of these are kingdoms of this world. Now, you see something here. Satan had an idea of the kind of thing that God wanted to do in the life of the Lord Jesus. I don't know how he got the idea anyway. But what I said something to you before, that if Satan offers somebody something and successfully gives the person that thing, that was what God wanted to give the person in the first place. Satan cannot give you what God did not plan to give you. He can't. He cannot. He can't give you what God never wanted you to have. The only thing, because you see, he doesn't create anything. The only thing he can do is to change the method by which you get it. That's the only thing he can do. Like we saw here, two references. One from Revelation chapter 11 and one from the book of Matthew chapter 4 about the temptation of the temptations of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that Revelation chapter 11. What happened to his life? The kingdoms of this world became his own. That was the same thing that Satan was offering him at the beginning. Are you seeing that here? It is what God wanted to give him that Satan offered him. The difference is the method he will go through to achieve it. And that was why David said that whatever you want to do in life, check for the door of righteousness. We're not going to look at that now. He said, enter by the gates of God. Things have different entrances. What you enter by decides what you get at the end of the day. So he said, you want to enter into prosperity? Make sure you enter by the gates of God. That's what David said in Psalm 118. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. That is, I want to enter into a thing. I must make sure I use the proper entrance. It is what you enter through that decides what you get at the end of the day. Now, so you see here, what was Satan offering? Listen, I will give you the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus didn't fall for it. Did he still get the kingdoms? He did. But this time around, he got it a different method. The first method was, bow to me. Let me say it again. People bow to Satan every day. What is bow to Satan? It is not, look, let me just say this. I said something earlier. The arrangement of things change on this earth. But the principle is the same. There was a time they put a shigiri down. You know what they call shigiri? You know what shigiri? All right. I mean, it's modern English. You guys should learn some modern English. All right? Just kidding. A statue. There was a time they put a statue down and said, bow down. And that was bowing to Satan. But this modern day, you know the truth? People will hardly give you a statue to bow to. Oh, they will hardly give you a statue to bow to. Come on, you're a pastor. Why would you bow to a statue? Think about it. You come here and I say, look, Pastor Banky, you want this ministry to move. You want the ministry to advance. There's no problem. We'll help you. He said, oh yeah, Tiger, bring in the thing. They now bring in one large box, open it. You now see one wooden carving with golden earrings, you understand, and silver waistband and all kinds of things. And say, listen, this is a modern bow. This is bow. Bow, Pastor Banky. And this ministry will explode. Satan is not that stupid. He has weighed it. This guy will never agree. He will never agree. So you know what he will do? That same Baal, that same Beelzebub, that same spirit will come. But this time around, he'll wear a suit. He will be shining. And he'll show up looking very nice. They're not going to bring a statue inside a box. The guy will be cleanly dressed. Then they'll now come to you and say, look, Pastor Frank, you know the reason why ministry is not moving? Is that you don't have enough money. If we can take this ministry and put it on these different radio stations and television stations and this one, they will promote you on Linda Ekeji's blog. Yes. And then by that time, you dress like this, you dress like this, do your hair this way, and you pose with this person and that person. In a year, the ministry will blow. Say, but I don't have money for that now. Say, that's nothing. Now, this really happened to Andrew Womack, what I'm about to tell you now. They actually came to him and said, look, we'll help you raise maybe about $2 million. And what we'll do is that we'll produce a brochure for your mailing list, your partners, and describe the things you're about to do. And then we'll give the opportunity to key into it. So he looked at it and said, but I'm not planning to do these things you guys have written. They said, it doesn't matter. And they mentioned the name of one other prominent minister that they've done it for. And this, they were able to raise maybe $10 million for that one. Maybe all they're asking for is just 15% of everything. He said he looked at them and told them to carry their wahala and get out. See, maybe in Nigeria, they said, don't worry, just give me your pulpit 2 days. He started promising what God did not promise. People start keying into an anointing that's not present. The one that makes me laugh all the time is that they say, look, when I was coming, God spoke to me that 15 people are going to give 1 million each. So those of you should come forward quickly, and immediately there's going to be a breakthrough before this week is over. And the Lord has spoken to me that by the time the guy finished, he said, all right, let's even assume you don't have 1 million. I said, but you said God said to you that Yeah, that's what happens. My problem with God saying that thing is that he says it to everybody. I've heard more than 10 preachers say it. Now, I'm going somewhere. When they start using the word of God, Paul said, we have renounced the secret things of dishonesty. When people don't renounce it, what they don't realize is that they are bowing to Satan. That's what I'm talking about. You are bowing to the devil. They will not bring a statue for you. They know, oh, come on, think about it. Even if I was not a believer, do I look like a statue bowing person? No, look at me. Who's finer, me or the statue? No, I will want the statue, but bow. Look at your... No, think about it. This modern day, we are not into statue, but we don't bow to statues recklessly. We bow to other things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what we bow to these days. We bow to business connections. I don't want to, you know, let me know so that I don't get sidetracked. You will know that some of the people that make reckless, this man opened a company, sold it for $300 million, $500 million. Look at this small boy. You think it's because he's wise? Some of them are bowed to certain things. You are not aware. And now, what am I saying? I just wanted to let us know. So in life, remember I said at the beginning, every decision you make in life, you are bowing to something. So make sure that your decisions reflect the word of God. And Andrew Mark said to those people, get away from here. Essentially, where God will not take me to, in my walk in righteousness, may I never get there. Any door God will not open by himself and pull me through, please don't knock it down for me. Don't make me jump through the window. Everything has a door and many windows. Thieves and robbers, they come in through the window. That's what Jesus said. Anybody telling you to subvert God's word, go against the principles of righteousness to get a result, is telling you don't use the gates of righteousness. Don't use the gates of God. Now, please, let me try and stick with my message. I'm just going to amplify what we read there. But I was saying to you earlier, anything you get, even when you bow to Satan, is just the thing that God wanted to give you. The difference is how you get it and how quickly it will come. If God wants to give you something, he will say to you, walk before me and be perfect. Now, 25 years with that, though. Walk before me and be perfect. 25 years of stumbling, getting up, telling lies, being corrected, famine, running, coming back with Hagar. Hagar caused problems in the family. You send Hagar away. I hope you're getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
Look, the same blessing, but God said, listen, I want to prepare you for the blessing that I have prepared for you. Did you hear what I said? God says, I want to prepare you to receive the blessing which I prepared for you already. If I give it to you now, you will lose it. Satan says, why walk before anybody? Just bow to me. With all these your imperfections, I give you now. That is the difference. Satan can never, ever give you something God did not plan to give you. If Satan, let me just give you a trick. Satan comes to you and says, join this cult. I will give you this. He said, describe the thing very well. When they finished describing, they said, thank you. Now you are giving me an idea of where God is taking me to. But let me let you know, I won't follow you. You have only leaked the future to me. Now I know I must walk with God until I surpass that thing you offered. And no, I'm not in a hurry. I'm very patient. I will obey God until he brings forth that result in my life. At the end of the day, we saw that Revelation chapter 11. Jesus went through the cross. He went to the cross, went through it, went to death, went to the grave. He was raised up on the third day. And then at the end of everything, he said, now, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And what will happen? And they shall reign. How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
How long?
Forever.
If you wait for God, the thing will last. That's the way it works. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, again, like I said, that's just a side trip. That's not the main message. The main message is just to emphasize the fact that there are kingdoms in there. That's what we are teaching. That's the line of our teaching. There are kingdoms in there. And there are different aspects of life. That's what we're trying to see. That it's not just one aspect of life that we have. And what God has proposed, what he has planned, is that each individual will go into the different aspects of life and, listen to this, reflect him there. We said last time that we are the current day living word of God. What do I mean by that? Is God faithful? The only way the world will know is by our faithfulness. They don't know your God. God says, if I want to show those who don't know me personally what faithfulness is, I will take one of my children and plant the person there. Say, you, live a life of faithfulness. They will know that faithfulness is possible. I hope you're getting my point here. God says, listen, that's what I want to do. They can't see me. They don't know what I am like. Every time I want to describe myself to people, I have to look for somebody they can see. And then I describe me, myself, to that person. Then he or she reflects me. And then those who can't see me can see him. They can see her. And that's why the name is God of Abraham. Are you getting my point? He did that with Abraham. For us now, he said, our father. So it takes one of his children and say, go out there and be another expression of Hebrews chapter 1 that says we are the exact representation of his nature. God can be every... Look, there are many aspects to him. That's what people don't understand sometimes. Sometimes when I see those of us who grew up under the Word of Faith movement, that's the problem we have sometimes. They say God never does this. They don't understand that God has many aspects. They only look at the, you know, at one side of God. There's God the judge. They hardly realize that as a judge, he has to rule the whole earth. Not by how he feels, but as per how it is right. What am I going to say? In the same manner, there is, listen. God has to show that he's a good designer. So when it comes to a particular area of engineering, he puts a spirit upon people. And that spirit is from himself. He takes a spirit from inside him and pours into a man, and the man starts giving fantastic engineering designs. And they ask him, how did you do this? He says, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. God said, that is what I told you to go and do. Thank you very much. When they wanted to make artistic designs, he called two men. One, his name was Bezalel. The other one, his name was Oholiab. I said, okay, two of you. He told Moses, I have poured my spirit inside them, the spirit of the craftsman. Once you give them gold and silver and wood, they bring anything you can imagine out of it. The same way God at the beginning in creation designed. Listen, yesterday we were watching National Geographic Wild in my house. You know what I was seeing when I saw? How many of you know what they call a python? Know a python? What does it do? Strangles people and things and swallows. Then, but you know, has one brother or cousin called the boa constrictor. You know about that one? Yeah, they are similar. Then I have one senior uncle. They call it the anaconda. Yesterday, I saw an anaconda, saw a boa constrictor, pursued it, and began to swallow it. That one run. That one had to use his weight, hung free on a tree until the boa, the anaconda, couldn't hold the weight, and the boa fell to the ground and ran away for his life. And I saw, no, you see one snake like this, with one small head, the body is like the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Are you getting my point? In size, height. And they said, this is a mass of muscle. If it grips you, you ain't going anywhere. You know, as we were watching yesterday in my house, and I was just thinking, say, God, my now, wow. You get time the design. Are you getting my point? That is all kinds of animals. Do you know God sketched them one by one? Drew them one by one. He said, no, the Bible said that he just said, let there be light. Listen, I'm not saying he didn't say, let there be this, let them be that. He did. But listen, that is how to summarize, like, what you sketch in 10 years. He says, it does it like, yeah, in half a second, it's done. But he still has to write it. He still has to draw it. By the words of his mouth, he had to create those ones one by one. So when God wants to create new things, he takes that spirit of the creator, the inventor, and it drops into the heart of somebody. And they start inventing machines. Like I said the other day, Jesus said there is none good but God. So any good thing you see a man do, are you getting my point? It is God that poured that spirit into the person and said, do this. So God has many aspects. That's the point I'm trying to make. And he says, for me to demonstrate what I am in one aspect, I send somebody in there. In another aspect, I send another person. Many people still think that it is preacher. You know, that's what I'm trying to emphasize again today. It's not the preacher alone that is doing the work of God. We know God also preaches. Yeah, we know he does. We know he does. He teaches you in the way you should choose. So he puts the spirit of the teacher, drop inside the mouth of some people. You are getting the point? It's the same spirit of God. He's the one that teaches people. So God has different aspects. And he says, each person, go and represent me in your own area that I ordained that you should represent me in. It's not only preachers that are doing the work of God. I'm emphasizing today that what people call secular work is God's work. That's my message I'm preaching this particular season now. And we all, as believers, must show the faithfulness of God in those areas. Yes, we must. We must. Listen, I was reading this book again, R.G. Lotuno's Mover of Men and Mountains. I talked about the book some time ago here. And the story of the man's life again was quite, of course, enlightening. Now listen to the story. There was a time that, let me summarize it this way, there was pressure in his soul. His spirit was being provoked to serve God more than ever before. I think he had a sister or a relative that was a missionary. So of course, naturally, they looked up to that one as somebody who was doing the work of God. So one day they had a major program in town, and they followed his sister, some relatives, they all went there, friends, to go and attend. And the preacher made altar calls and all of that. He rededicated his life to a higher service of God. All right? And began, by that time he was in business, doing some form of engineering and all of that. So he decided that, well, we have to serve God properly. That pressure was inside his soul. But how do we go about it? All that was in his mind is, do I join this young woman, I think his sister, going to China as a missionary? Or what do I do? Do I go and join the church and become a pastor and stuff like that? Those thoughts were going through his mind. That was all he understood. But that program they came for that day, he just felt it was wise to go and talk to that preacher that came to town. So he booked an appointment to go and see the man. So they began to talk. So when he finished telling the man every pressure in his heart and things that he was thinking about, the man said, all right, you see me later. So he left. I guess that man went to pray about his situation. When he came back, the man told him simply, he said that thing was ringing in his head after that. He said to him simply, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. He had never heard that before in his life. So the man just said to him simply, my brother, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. That was the first time he realized that, you mean being a businessman, doing what I am doing, can actually be the service of God? He left that place, dropped the idea of missions, dropped the idea of becoming a pastor, and said, this business, we will do it. God gave him the spirit of the inventor. He began to invent things. He was making money from it and decided to be given 90% of what he earned to support those who were doing missions. The idea of going out on missions disappeared from him that day because a man spoke to him and said, listen, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. Listen, the man affected his world. He invented machines. As far as he was concerned, any work you can't do, you have not invented a machine. So he gives him a work to do, he invents a machine to do it. He's credited with inventing earth-moving equipment. And all of those things, in fact, if you read his story, I can't go into them now, you see the inspiration of God in them. But why I'm bringing up his story is that day, he said, it dawned on him that what I am doing can actually be the work of God. And that's my preaching today. Listen, we've talked about the fact that we are to reflect God's character. We have talked about the fact that we are the demonstration of his righteousness. And I'm saying today, where do we do that? And I'm saying wherever you work, that is a platform of God for you to demonstrate his righteousness. Not only in church. Preachers are not the only ones doing the work of ministry. If you read that Ephesians chapter 4, let's just read it again since we are looking at the scriptures. I particularly like King James in that particular area. Ephesians chapter 4. See what it says here. Where do I start it from? So as to save time. Okay, we know the fact that he said that he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And then let's start from verse 11. He said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Now this is the point. Verse 12 is where I want. He said, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. Now if you have a King James, it says it's equipping the saints for what? Read it again, let me hear. For the work of ministry. That is, every child of God is actually doing the work of ministry. That's something I want us to understand. Every child of God is doing the work of ministry. And each person has an area of life where he or she is supposed to bring the Spirit of God into that place. I'm not saying, no, this mistake we make a lot of times that we say that is where I'm supposed to preach. No! That's not what I'm saying. You will preach there, amen? Yes, you will preach there. Oh, most certainly, you will preach there. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that is where you are supposed to inject the Spirit of God into. That's what we are saying. Many people see their office at the place I go to preach. No, 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 no. That's not the primary reason why you go to that office. It's the place you go to work. For example, you are a doctor. You go to that place to work, and that work, as you're talking to a patient, is the ministry of God. Not let's do church work, let's do medical work, then put it aside. Let's now do the work of God. Have you given your life to Christ? Now listen, asking somebody like that is good. Thank God this is not America. Nobody's going to harass you for preaching to your patient. Nigeria will preach to our patient if we like. If he doesn't want to hear, he says, no, I don't want to hear. But you can't sue me. Nobody's going to fire me, all right? So I understand that we should do that. I'm not belittling that at all. But I'm saying that that's not what we're talking about. We're saying that as I'm making good diagnosis and as I'm being attentive to care for my patient, that is my work of ministry, if I'm working there. I'm a secondary school teacher. I go to work. It's not let me do this so as I'll get money to go and do the work of God, which is what a lot of preachers who don't understand still pass across to believers. I've heard preachers say it before, that some of you can't serve God on Sunday for just a few hours, but you serve your boss that's not believing from Monday to Saturday. It's not like that. I'm not serving my boss. I'm serving the Lord. He just happens to be a senior man in the place where I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving God from Monday to the next Monday. And when God wants to judge me, he judges me in the place where he places me primarily. Let's never forget that. There's a scripture we're going to read just now. But let me explain something. There's a story I tell all the time. And please, when I recommend a book, and you've heard me recommend it for 3 months, and you still haven't read it, you must be very wicked. I can't understand that kind of wickedness. Don't put up your hand outwardly, but in your heart, put up your hand. If you have listened to me for more than 6 months, you've been coming here off and off for at least 6 months, and you have not read The Happiest People on Earth, put up your hand inside your heart. Let me not tempt you. How can you not? I mean, as of today, I've talked about that book so much. Oh, good enough. It's now available. The soft copy is now flying around. My own is a hard copy, but it's flying around now. Can I digress for a second? This phone in your hand was not meant for Facebook. Thanks to Mark who came to Nigeria, but the phone was not meant for Facebook. Instagram You can argue with this, though. I don't know whether God sent you to Instagram. Let me put it like that. What are you looking at? Do messages appear as photographs? How many ones? What is it for? If you are following a celebrity here, in Jesus' name, repent. Yes. On Instagram. Yes, sir. Yes. If you are keeping up with the Kardashians, may God have mercy on your soul. Yes. What I wanted to say is different, but let me say that one I said. If you are going somewhere fine in life, you can't be keeping up with jobless people. Keeping up with the Kardashians. When you've not kept up with, Matthew, Mark, Luke. If you are following Two-Face, repent. Listen, from today, I am instructing you. If you come back here, that means you want me to teach you the word of God. Abi? If you are following Two-Face, what's the name of that guy that's fighting police right now in America? Chris Brown? Yes. If you are following anybody like that on Twitter, Instagram, where do they follow people? Facebook, Snapchat. Why are you even on Snapchat? What are you hiding? What are you chatting that you don't want people to see? Snapchat is for those who want to say bad things and nobody will see it. Please stop following jobless people, okay? All right? I'm not saying don't do Facebook. Use Facebook to connect with people who know the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm not saying it's bad. Some people are using it for fantastic ministry. Yeah. And if you're following celebrity on anything, your Christianity is in doubt. Amen. If you're on Facebook, make sure you're either doing ministry or you're connecting with serious people. All right? Please. On Twitter, follow people who say things that edify you.
Yeah.
Follow serious people. Don't follow any football club. You can read the announcement later, who beat who. See, it's transfer season now, have you? It's over now. They will summarize who went where. Don't waste it. Look, listen. The Bible says the days are evil. There's a lot of Boko Haram on social media. They don't send physical bombs. They send spiritual bombs. Disturb your soul for nothing. And I hope you have not joined MMM Nigeria. Father God, anybody here who joined MMM, have mercy. Don't kill. Don't kill. Collect that money. Don't return it. Covetousness. You are looking for free money. It won't bless you. You are a thief. Only. Oyoshi. You are looking for free money. There is no free money. Money comes only one legitimate way. By grace with labor. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
I don't know why human beings don't seem to realize what's going on in life. These things come up and down every time. When I was in school, it was planned well. Umana, umana, monetary. It came, ruined many people's lives. When Jesus said, beware of covetousness, you know what it means? Covetousness, the things that are dangerous are usually alluring. That's why I said, beware.
Yes.
I hope I've delivered you. If you don't hear me, you will hear the truth later. And in case you don't know, if you carry your neighbor or your friends there, now Olokpa will say to the two of you, God has sent me to come and deliver you. No, you say checker. You say checker. You will just sit down for house. Person could pay you 30% interest. Why does Buhari not give them all our national resources? Many they pay us 30% every month. Buhari will just come and say, come, I have seen the secret to economic recovery. Just donate $10 billion. They go to give National Assembly. How many percentage every month? Well, listen, the truth is that those guys are simple Ponzi schemes. Some people say, I'll quickly put in my money and then go away before it collapses. If you think like that, you are a thief. You are a willing participant in fraud. You know some people will be hurt and you want to collect their money and run. You and the criminal that's using a gun, the difference is the weapon. Beware of what? Covetousness. Don't worry. Don't be in a hurry. In due season, God will bless you. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
In your time, things will work out for you.
Amen.
He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Make up your mind what you are supposed to be doing. Do it diligently and give God time. Do it diligently and give God time. Listen, let me be honest with you. I'm not into secular music and all of that. But one thing that interests me about some of these musicians you hear of, either it's Two-Face or what's the name of this Enugu boy? Flavor. Before Polo Park turned to Polo Park Mall, that's where Flavor used to play music in the evening. I hope you know. Now they're hearing him from South Africa, hearing him from Europe, hearing him from America, from Lagos, from everywhere now. It was Polo Park in the evening that I used to play music. Free, thank you. Many of you knew Two-Face as a student in IMT. So they didn't just wake up one day and say, music is selling, now. Let's go and sell some music. Listen, if you can't do what you are doing confidently, that is with joy, while you wait for God, find something else to do. That is how Christians prosper. Not that you give somebody, you sit down in your house, give somebody money, give you 30% every month. You say you are encouraging the man to, you know, like they say, you are just begging the man, lie to me, lie. Don't tell me the truth. So if you tell me the truth now, my conscience will be disturbed. Just lie. I don't care what you do, just give me my 30%. That's not part of my message. Can I go back to my message now? But I hope I've helped somebody today. That your hard-earned money, the devil won't get it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
He will plant your seed, it will grow appropriately.
Amen.
In his own field, God will cause it to multiply in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Covetousness will not collect it from you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the devices, all right, that God gave you, please, it's not for gossip. Is for the word of God. Put a message on it. Get your SD card loaded with good words. You have like four preachers at a go that you pack their messages inside. There's something I do when I want somebody to talk to me and teach me the word of God, the letters, everything, the spirit behind them. There are men I listen to. When I want them to, I want to be charged up and feel like jumping through the roof, I change the channel. They are meant for that. When I want to hear testimonies that just encourage my soul, I know who to look for. I have a number of them like that. I just scroll. I said that, David Paulson, what do you say about the five covenants of God? You click OK. He starts teaching. Teaches for like 3 hours. So I do that. There are different people. They do different things. When I want, you will hear testimonies that will just charge you up. Let me listen to Kenneth Hagin. Yesterday, I was very laughed at through my sleep. Kenegi was teaching and the spirit of joy came to the place. And men were just laughing and laughing. I started dreaming of laughing people. If you were depressed, the depression would go away. You load your SD card. That's what these devices are for. The Bible says knowledge will increase. That's the idea. On this little device, this afternoon, I updated my, my Bible software. So I had to re-download Bibles, materials and all of that. When I get back home, I'll go and finish it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Please, there are so many books. That's why I thank God for the spirit he gave us, so that our materials are out there free. Many people's materials are there. You just pull them into your device. When you want to waste time reading something. That's just what I'm going to encourage us. Fill your head with understanding. Are you getting my point? Don't waste all the time. Like I said, forget all this Snapchat and Instagram thing. It's not for the photograph you want to see. Go and search it later on Google. You will find it. Don't be wondering what some people will be eating. Celebrity wants to eat. First bring out his food, photography, and send to Instagram. You know that Satan wants to waste your time. I hope you get my point. The Lord is good, though. Back to what I was saying. So please, I was talking about a particular book. I know where I went on all of this. We're talking about what? Happiest people on earth, yes. So please, get that book, please, all right? Please, get the book and read. Because I tell stories from all of these materials many times. Now, that man, there's a way he used to do his ministration. Now, before I talk about that story, let's read this particular scripture, right? It's in line with what we are teaching. The book of Daniel chapter 5. I just want to show how, we were saying earlier that our duty is to properly reflect God. Remember that? Yeah, that's our duty, to properly reflect him. Jesus said, you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. What does he want us to do? We are to infuse the light of God into places. We are the ones that will show people what God is like. I want to just show something to us here. Something that was said concerning Daniel when there was a problem in Babylon. Please open your Bibles quickly to that book of Daniel chapter 5. You know the story of Mene Tekel Upharsin. Remember that story?
Yes.
Handwriting on the wall. Now, I don't want to spend time talking about that. What I just want to bring us is from, let's read from verse 8. The Bible said, then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the inscription or make known its interpretation to the king. Then King Belshazzar was greatly alarmed. His face grew even paler, and his nobles were perplexed. Now, the queen entered the banquet hall, that's the mother of the king, because of the words of the king and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. Now, notice verse 11. There is a man in your kingdom, she says, in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. This was because, verse 12, an extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving of difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. This is a summary of the reputation that Daniel had in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar. I said something to us before, let me just repeat it again. It's very important for those who do not know that the Jews did not even consider Daniel a prophet. I found that there's a way the Jews arranged their own canon of scriptures. They have the writing of Moses, they have the prophets, they have the historical books, and what they call the Chetubim or something like that. And you find out that Daniel was not included amongst the prophets. He was placed with Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, books like that. That was where they placed Daniel. Very interesting. Now, why am I emphasizing that? You see, therefore, that Daniel's regular job was not that of a prophet. Every other prophet you find in Israel, they were basically priests, if they are not called prophets alone. They were people that their job was just to be prophets. They are schools of prophets. The man went from town to town, went on a circuit, go from here to there. Some of them were judges, people like Samuel. And their duty was to bring forth what the Lord was saying. That was not Daniel's case. Why didn't the Jews consider him a prophet? They said there was never a time he came and gave us the word of God, as God speaking through him to us. And listen, that's a matter of fact. Now, it's we Christians that look at him as a prophet. Because the things he said, they apply to our times. Even though they apply to his times, but then they didn't see it as a message to them personally, as a nation. Why am I talking about it? I want to emphasize that Daniel was, for most periods of his life, was a regular civil servant. And that was where he established the reputation of God. You are getting my point? It was through him that God showed to Nebuchadnezzar the reputation of God. What he did was to do his work well. All the problems he got into was for doing his work well. When they ganged up against him and said, let us make him, no, let's lie to the king. What happened was that they went to lie to the king. That king, you are a god. Let's canonize you. They said, how do you know I'm a god? He said, it's simple. Let people pray to you. And then after that, we'll get answers to prayer. And we'll testify of it. We'll decide that you are a god. All of that was to put Daniel in trouble. Why? Because the Bible says that the man, there was no corruption to be found in him. Once they put him in charge of things, everything worked well. He invented accounting methods by which the civil servants couldn't chop money. So, treasury single account for Babylon, and he was in charge. When the king saw it, they said, Darius said, this guy is too good. Let me put him in charge of all the accounting system of the whole country. Ah, the boy said, Omo, things have ended. Paje go die. Are you getting my point? All this egunje, nothing. So that's when they began to strategize to remove him.
Yes.
The truth is that when Daniel was put in that lion's den, he said, there was innocency and faithfulness found in my heart towards you. He said, I didn't sin against God. I didn't sin against you. And that was why God sent his lions and they shot. God sent his angels and they shut the mouth of the lions. Listen, Daniel's job was just to serve Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, all those men well. It's while he's doing his work, sometimes a pressure will come upon him, he'll go and pray. He had compassion for his nation. So those things used to be burdens on his soul, so he'll pray. And for that reason, God will come and give him, listen to this, a personal encouragement. Most of those revelations, personal encouragements. The man prayed for things, and God said, you will not see this thing in your lifetime, but let me tell you what will happen afterwards. The angel said, I have come to give you skill and understanding. Why? You are a man of high esteem. Listen, Daniel left the temple in Jerusalem as a little boy. He never saw it again. He died in Babylon, did not come back to Judah. But we gather together and read his book. We gather together and read the story of his life. But he was a dedicated, what we in today we call civil servant. Let me just really add that one. So when somebody tells that there's nothing a Christian is doing in politics, it's a lie. Oh, it's a fat lie. He's not looking to do politics the way other people do it, but some Christians have a duty to be present there. And let nobody come and criticize our vice president for you because he said he joined the APC. Who's the leader of APC? Do we know how he got his money? Who's the president? Is the man a Christian? So what is he doing there? Please, don't answer people like that. They don't know anything. If people like him live there, you understand? Whatever light God wanted to shine into that place through him will become blind, darkness. No, he has to remain there. He has to remain there. And if God gives you the opportunity, please enter there. I hope you are getting my point here. Yes, David Paulson said one day a young woman came to him and said she's tired of this thing. The way she works in the office, they are persecuting her because she's the only Christian. The place is difficult and all of that. That she's resigning the job. And thank God, she just got a job to work in a Christian organization. So just came to tell this man of God, I'm resigning from my office. I'm joining a Christian organization. The man said, he looked at her and said, is that so? Now, you are about to deny your co-workers the only way by which the light of God will shine in their faces. You are about to deny your office the only person that is bringing the life of God into the place. He said, now you are about to deny the people the opportunity to come in contact with God through you. Because you claim they are persecuting you. So, by the way, go and start your work in your Christian organization. You now know what Christians are made of. So that's how you know that it's not every Christian that is exactly like Jesus Christ. She had never seen it from that perspective. She went back to work, withdrew her resignation, whatever it is, and returned to that place and realized that I am the light of God that's supposed to shine in that place. That was why Paul said to Timothy and to Titus, when you want to choose deacons, go to their places of work and check the reputation that they have there. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, what we call secular work, that's my teaching for today, is the work of God. I said there are many kingdoms. My friend Pastor Corey quoted a scripture the other day. Talked about different men that came from different places. That they came like the army of God, that the Bible says that all of them had one purpose in mind. To establish David as king over Israel. Are you getting my point? People came from different tribes in Israel. And they had one purpose in mind. To do what? To establish David as king over Israel. He said, what are we supposed to do as Christians? Therefore, our duty is to establish Jesus as Lord over every aspect of life. Anyone that he places in our hands, that is where you are working for God. Listen, when you go to church, the primary reason why you go to church is to go and learn how to do the work of ministry. That's why we read from Ephesians chapter 4. He gave gifts unto men, that the gifts, we mentioned that, was it on Tuesday, that there are different kinds of gifts. Paul said, through the grace that is given to me, I say to each one of you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. What I was trying to say, he said, I want you to know the grace that God has given you. That is, the grace I have is to provoke the grace that is upon your life. You are getting my point here? Now, but what was I saying? So those are the people that he called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their duties when you go to church is to fire up the grace of God that is in you. Then you go back outside and go and do your work so as to establish Jesus as king. You are following my point? Remember I was there with the story, right? Can you remember that story? That is the person we're talking about. I said I'll come back to the story. That's Demon Shakarian. Let me tell his story to establish for us one major way by which God expects his character to be shown to people. You know, I said, when people want to see God, God says that they have to look at you. They shouldn't come to anywhere else. They see one of my children, they should have seen me. Philip said, show us the Father. Jesus said, what do you want to see again? Remember the story? Show us the Father. He said, I have been with you all this while. You are telling me you don't know what the Father is like. Listen, that is God's aim for every person's life. That in your office, once they have been with you, they should know what God is like. By your attitude to work, by the excellence with which you do what you are doing, by your compassion towards people around you, by your willingness to make sacrifice so that people can be established. These are some traits of God that you must have, that these things must be seen in you. So when they say God is kind, they know kindness by looking at you. When they say God is excellent, he says you are the one that's supposed to show forth his excellencies. Many people want to carry a Bible and speak. You know, when we're young those days, if you heard Raymond Bonnke preach, you memorize what he said. I remember there was one particular man of God, I won't mention his name. Good man, I'm not saying anything bad about him, I just want to mention the name. He came to our campus to preach. And by the time he finished preaching, man, I was so blessed. I crammed everything he said. Next time I went for evangelism. The first room I got into, I sat down. I wasn't caring about them per se. I began to preach what this man said. Except that even as I was saying it, I knew I was not making any sense. As I was saying it, I knew that what I was saying had no meaning. Nobody could understand this rubbish that was coming out of my mouth. Once I was in a vehicle in Lagos. I was going to Ibadan somewhere. I don't know, was it Benin? Public transport. And one young man did something, and I want all of you to learn it, please. Everybody listen to me. Learn this. He preached in an interesting way. There was crisis that time, around the June 12th crisis, that kind of period. Or the anniversary of June 12th was around that period, some crisis in the nation. And the young man, we were inside a taxi, and we're going to Ibadan or Benin, I'm not very sure which one now. And he said that he wanted to share something with us, whether we had a few minutes. You know, people that preach the gospel in vehicles, at least in Nigeria, thank God for it, is thriving both as business and as preaching. It's thriving. I thank God for it. No, don't make light of it, all right? Don't let those who are doing the business side blind us to the fact that God has given us freedom. And it will not last forever if we don't use it properly. I want you to just understand that. That's just the way the Lord behaves, all right? So, we preach in vehicles. The typical way everybody preaches the same way. The soul that sinned, he shall die. And for these days now, they've not added offering to it. You now give an offering. When I was much younger, nobody took offerings when you preached in public places. You just preached and you left, all right? But now, that's why we know business has now come into it. But people preach the same way. Take a scripture, say the same thing, do everything, you know, the evangelistic kind of message. But that young man that day, he did something very different. He taught. I don't know what I get my point. It was a sound teaching. It wasn't the normal, you know, evangelism. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. You are still walking in sin. No. He taught us about what was going on in the country from the word of God. And when he finished, and he said something like, I just hope you guys understood that. Thank you very much for your time. And that was the end of it. Didn't make an altar call. didn't see it. That is, he took about 5 to 10 minutes and showed us how God works, what's happening in the country, why we should not be discouraged. These are the things we can expect. By the time it was done, he thanked us for our time and he left it there. And I remember that day, I was so impressed that this guy didn't come the normal way. He didn't come the normal way. Why? Because the Bible says that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Many of us will have gifts that are like Rehan Bonnke. So every time we enter, but we don't have the face of Rehan Bonnke. So it doesn't have the same effect. Are you seeing what I'm going to explain here? God has gifts. Whatever your gift appears like, don't worry. He will manifest himself through it. Let me say that again. Even if your gifts don't appear so spiritual, use it properly. He will manifest himself through it. A young man, one day I went to preach in Old Path here, Old Path Revival Assembly. They had a special men's program. So one of the days I was one that spoke. And one night, a young boy came to talk to me. Young guy. Just finished NYC. I never heard that before. He said, people give their lives to Christ when he beats the drum. And he's playing. Maybe nothing special. They just leave the drum there. He just sits on it and starts playing. People will pause and be repenting. And doesn't utter a word. I hope you're getting my point. God knows what he's doing. He knew that not everybody will be Rehan Bonnke. They shouldn't all try to be Billy Graham. Each person should just identify what he can do and do it properly, even if it doesn't appear spiritual. You can just be a good administrator in an office. Your administrative duty is the way by which God is showing people his excellence, his glory. And many times, he said, other men labor and you came into their labor. All right? Let me explain something to you. Forget this thing that God is not counting how many souls you want for him. I want you to understand that he's not. He can't count. He doesn't count such things. You know why? He said, Paul plants, Apollos waters, then God gives the increase. The Paul that planted is different from the Apollos that watered. Then when God gives the increase, another man will put in the sickle because the harvest has come. Don't forget that. Many of the evangelists you see are sickle putters. They are there to, harvest. In fact, let me explain something that I explained here some time ago, which we don't understand. Have you noticed some, many of us who grew up Pentecostal circles and all of that, you look at some, maybe a reverend father, a reverend sister, who didn't have that kind of power, gift of the Spirit the way you have, who came into your area before you, that those people, they didn't understand the gospel the way we understand it now. That's why we are getting more results. Have you encountered that kind of attitude before? But when you came and said, Jesus is the healer, and they said, amen, and you began to minister, people were getting healed and they were believing. And you said, you see, this is how to do it. What you don't realize is that Jesus was not strange to them. You didn't ask yourself, how did you know about him before you came? You came talking about Jesus. They knew who you were talking about. Who told them about him? The reverend sister, who was there 50 years before you. Oh yes, she doesn't have your own power of the Spirit. Praise God. But when you showed up with the power of the Spirit, they knew which power, which Spirit, which Jesus. They knew. You didn't have to introduce that Jesus again. She sowed. Somebody else watered. Then time for harvest, you just showed up. You're not feeling like James Bond. You are feeling like James Bond. I'm telling you, people sometimes say that, Yonggi Cho built a 1-million-man church. And they talk as if he knows how to. The Bible says he himself does not know how. Forget all these principles of church growth. I've read all of them. I don't believe most of them. Listen. I am not saying the principles are bad. But they don't guarantee any results. There are no results in principles. Every result is in God. You can use those same results. If the time is not right, you get nothing. I told you my friend Pastor Corey in Sokoto, he used to believe that he understood the principles of church growth, church planting. As a young boy, he said, how can a pastor start a church and in 1 year, church members are not up to 50 or 100? Either you are not called or you are lazy. He put it in his head like that. And God said, my guy, I will correct you, don't worry about it. Started a church, after 1 year, only him was a member. Isn't that the truth? He said he got the first member the day he gave up. Yeah. The The day he made up his mind that, God, I'm going back home. You didn't send me here. It was that same day. One guy, but that is, I don't know how God motivated that guy. The guy, maybe out of pity, just look at his home. He said, man of God, God said I should join your church. That was what gave him encouragement. How do I know this story? He confesses himself. He said, my brethren, I used to think I knew how to do it. I did it for 1 year, nothing. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. He said, I did it for 1 year, nothing. What I'm going to emphasize is, listen, there's no, listen, whatever you are doing, you fall into a particular category. You may be amongst those who are sowing. You may be amongst those who are watering. You may be amongst those who are putting in the sickle because the harvest has come. That's why God is not, you can't go to him and say, Lord, we want 10 souls for you. He said, which 10 souls? What are their names? Israel, Okemute, Banky, his wife, their wives. You finish counting. Say, huh? Say, when did you meet Okemute? Say, the moment I saw him, Lord, I didn't let him rest. I gave him the word. He gave his life to Christ. All right, so it was the day you met him that he gave his life to Christ. Because the angel just said, my friend, move. You are a sickle putter. You just put in the sickle because the harvest had come. Say, 5 years before, somebody planted the seed. You were not there. From 4 years ago till that day, somebody was watering it. I'm sharing the reward. You will get your portion. Calculate his portion. Gabriel, would you bring out the calculator? For Kemete's salvation, give that guy 0.5%. 0.5. Why? So he didn't do anything. In fact, he did his hand like this. We shook the fruit, fell into his hand. Who sowed the seed? He said, the seed. There's one SU brother when he was in secondary school. That's the seed. Are you getting my point? No, I'm saying all of this for you. Don't despise what is with you. Don't despise what's in your hand. What you just need, just one thing. Maintain the testimony of God in all that you are doing all the time. Maintain that testimony. You will see, they told Daniel, you try. He said, no, it's not me. There's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. That's what Daniel said. He said, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. He said, Joseph, we heard you can interpret dreams. He said, no, not me, sir. Interpretation is with God. I just happen to know him. So sometimes, you know, he speaks, he lets me know. So I will ask him for you. Do you understand? They always gave credit. And that's why Eli, when he was speaking, he said, I'm not saying I'm so wise. He said, but there is a spirit in man. Whatever I say to you today is the inspiration of the Almighty that gave me the understanding. You have to maintain that testimony all the time. I'm emphasizing something here. You don't know how God is using it. That's why I talked about those who sow, those who water, and those who come in and reap. Each person must make sure whatever God gives you, use it, please. You go to an office, he says, do your work well so that they will think Jesus is the person working on your desk. And when they say, how come you walk like this? Say, it's the grace of God. I thank God for what he has done for me through Christ Jesus. Leave it there. Say, it's a seed. I'll get somebody else to water it. The time of harvest, I know what to do. All of us want to be harvesters. Have you heard what I said? Give your life to Christ right now. The man said, why should I? So I have to tell my pastor, I led somebody to Christ. Come on, give your life to Christ. So the guy, look your face. All right, no problem. Say after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And when you go, the guy says, is that guy okay? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What am I going to emphasize? Listen, each person, God knows what he's doing. Just make sure you are diligent in what you are supposed to be doing. There's a story I've been trying to tell since. Can you remember the story? I'm going to get there. All right? I'll tell the story and then we'll close with it. Demos Shakarian was a dairy farmer. Let's make a long story short because of our time. Those days, please go and read the book. I can't tell the whole story. To be able to pick, assume you go shopping for animals to put in your herd, How do you know which animal is good? How do you know it? They had experts that used to advise. But even for them, it was guesswork. You are getting my point? But Demon Shakarian never used an expert and always got it right. Always. Always got it right. How did he do it? The Holy Spirit literally used to manifest. As he's going around looking at the animals, one of them suddenly starts glowing. It's as if somebody is shining a light from above. Bright light on that animal. The animal just starts glowing. Nobody else sees it apart from him. And then he just says, give me that animal. No matter the price on it, he buys it. And he never goes wrong. That was the same way he used to know who to call to speak during Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship meetings. After a while, people took notice. This man, you must have a secret advisor. Initially, he denied it. Then I said, why am I denying it? They are right. There is a secret advisor, but not a human being. Not what you are thinking. Who's your secret advisor? There is a God in heaven who made the cattle on a thousand hills. He knows them by name. He knows their genes. He can read their genes from looking at their faces. That's a testimony. Listen, that's why I tell Christians, be careful. You are in the office, they have not paid salaries. You are whining like everybody else. You are an insult to the Lord. You come to work, they've not paid. If they don't pay, there will be no peace in this office. And then during prayer meeting, 12 o'clock, you hear the pastor, let us pray. Now, in this office, we will now say, every enemy that will not pay our salary, the fire of God will burn them. Begin to pray. Holy Ghost fire, the blood of Jesus upon our enemies. They will never give their life to Christ. You are as evil as the rest of them. If you walk into that office with joy and rejoicing in your heart, you're not pretending. Have they paid? No. Oh, wow. We thank God. We will survive. Young lions may be hungry. They may suffer hunger. Those who seek the Lord will not lack anything good. You're not angry. Haba, my destiny is not in their hands. Say, this is the third year. They didn't promote you. He said, listen, no human being can promote me. No human being can refuse to promote me. In due season, I will be promoted. The Bible says, not from the east or the west, nor the south comes promotion. But God is judge. He brings down one and lifts up another. Leave it there. There's enough space. Don't worry about it. You have that attitude. You are not speaking for yourself, my brother, my sister. You are speaking for the God who we call our Father. I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, when Daniel was going to speak for God, that was what happened though. Daniel was not known for the number of times he prayed in a day. He was known for, he prayed at home, he came to the office, he had a spirit of excellence. That's why if you're a workman, let me tell you something. You know, there's this rubbish, Nigerian mechanics do it a lot. Or got manager like that. Have you heard that thing before? It doesn't matter. Toyota did something, put it inside. One mechanic comes to tell you, it does not matter. Maybe you don't know Igbo man. That dollar, he manages it like his life depends on it. If there's one piece of metal in that vehicle that's not important, he won't put it. So I always tell Christians, don't walk on somebody's car and remove something that says it doesn't matter. Tell him what it does. Tell him why you have to remove it, if you have to remove it. And explain it. Just don't dismiss it because of your ignorance. I mean, listen, the way you treat your clients, that's the point I'm making, is service unto God. If a man gives you his car to repair, you repair it anyhow, you have misrepaired the car of Jesus. And next time they are going to Nazareth, there will be a problem on the road. They can't get to Capernaum. Why? They left their car in your office. No, think like that. They are going for the wedding. They give you the cloth of Jesus to sew. You saw it wrongly. You had the reason why there will be no wine that day. When their wine will finish, they say, who will multiply wine? He didn't come. Why? That guy didn't finish his cloth. I'm just think like that. I don't know whether I get my point. Just think like that. Think like that. Imagine that you are a teacher of children. Just imagine that Jesus is coming today with his questions. Yeah. Children are coming, 12 years old. Just know that one of them is Jesus Christ. And he's coming to harass your soul with questions. So prepare well from home. That's what it means to do your work as unto the Lord. They put you in charge of the temple. Look for the areas of prayer. Don't let anybody sell anything there. Because if Jesus shows up, he's going to flog everybody. I don't know what... Are you following my point here? That is how we Christians reason. That is how we Christians reason. Anything that's placed in our hands, we treat it as if, listen, this is the assignment of God. And listen, we do it, His excellence. He says, through us, is showing forth His excellence. Let me end with this. We maintain a testimony. One day I saw somebody who succeeded, we're talking about himself. Please don't follow this American braggadocious attitude. I'm the best. I'm the greatest. Before me, there was nobody. I am the best. I'm the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, the latest. All those S things will end your life. What should you do? How come you are this excellent? Forget the fact that it's not common Nigerian language. Say it like that. I thank God. It's by His grace. Were it not for the Lord Jesus, I won't be able to do this. Say it and be bold about it. How come you fix this car? It's so nice. Ah, my brother, I used to be hard, but I prayed. After that, now I'm not joking about this. You can make, this is an experience I've had. You make diagnosis with inspiration. Listen, a Christian doctor who understands what I'm trying to say, all right? You understand it? They can't do it. You look at the patient. They don't know what you're doing. You've checked and checked and checked. I'm convinced what is right. They did this, what's wrong with this fellow. But anyway, let's do this investigation. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. They do it every MRI, blood test, everything. We confirm what you said to be what happened. How did you know? Someone just said, look, I've noticed. Anytime we have difficult diagnosis to make like this, anything you say is right. 10 times out of 10. How come? Don't say na luck. If you say na luck, God will sack you by himself the next day. Say, my brother, there's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Anytime I have problems like that, I go home, I go and pray. When I come back the next day, the solution talks to me. Remember, there's seed, there's watering, there's harvest. It is not all of us that are harvesters. But God says, every day, be planting the seed. Every day, be planting the seed. Demas Shakarian planted the seed in the heart of many people by just testifying about how his dairy farming business succeeded. I hope you are getting my point. If you're having problems in your business, don't run to church. Say, God has called you to ministry. Let me just quickly end with that. Yeah, let's end with that. Let's end with that. God can call people into ministry. He can fail their business so, because they are not listening. Are you getting my point? But that's unusual. What did I say? What did I say? Many people have gone to seminary out of frustration. Government did not pay minimum wage. Dollar is expensive. They can't do business. They can't pay, they can't, I mean, there's not enough money to do everything they want to do. They say, God is calling me to ministry. I came to tell you today, God didn't call you to any ministry. Did you hear what I said? You did the first business, it failed. Second one, it failed. You are owing everybody. You have now decided that God is calling you to ministry. I've come to tell you today, God is not calling you to any ministry. You're working in an office, they gave you the first query, second query, third query, you are facing the disciplinary panel, they put you on 3-month suspension. You now say, God is calling you to ministry. I have come to tell you today, God is not calling you to any ministry. But this man testified, hey, he's an unusual case. And what he did not know is that God had called him properly several times before these problems began. Your own, that you're only hearing the call when the problem began, there's a problem. You say, what do you mean? I will explain. What is his name? Peter. Things were going rough. Before Jesus called him, he gave them victory. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yes. Listen. Elisha, when Elijah called him, he was plowing with 12 of them. How many? Was it 12? 12 yokes of oxen. Yes. You know what that means? He had a large farm. Farming business was good. And God said, you, come. And he left the place. I'm not saying God can't call people in the midst of their difficulty. But I'm here today to tell you it is unusual. It's not the normal thing. Many people are going about their normal business, using excellence to do it, and they are doing it well. Then God said, that is enough for this season. Look at what he said. You have been faithful in a very little thing. Come, let me now put you in charge of 10 cities. He didn't say, because you have ruined all my mina that I gave you. I hope you are getting my point here. He didn't say, because you ruined all my minas that I gave you, I will now put you in charge of 5 cities. Paul said, when God found me faithful, he gave me a ministry. Before you run away from that place where you want to go away, first of all, I'm giving you an assignment today. Go back there and succeed. Do that business well. He said, I failed 2 times. This man failed 4 times. Is it 3 or 4 times? The one I give as an example is Peter Daniels. He came out in that business a multimillionaire. Henry Ford started two or three car companies that failed before Ford Motor Company picked up. It's not every little business success failure that's a sign that you have been called to ministry. Serve God in that business first. Serve God in that civil service office first. If you're on suspension, listen to me. Don't resign in the midst of suspension. Repent first. Go back to work. Work for 3 more months, 6 more months. Put excellence in such a manner that the day you are going, they are crying. Now you are leaving and they say, he's going at last. Ha! Praise God. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Let me end my message here. Let's go home. What have I said today? What people call secular job, all right, is a work of God. Do it, the Bible says, as unto the Lord. Do it as what? Unto the Lord. Don't fail in it and say, it's a sign that I should enter into ministry. Many people do it too. One of my friends, tell me the nature, he's a pastor, he's a businessman in the nature. He also does ministry, and the one is a pastor. He said, you go to the market, the man is not in the shop. The man telling me the story is a banker. 11 o'clock, he's not in his business. Where he has gone to church to pray. You come next day, business is not doing well. Where has he gone? He has gone to church to pray. Any pastor that's trying to help you, a businessman, does not allow you to attend to the business. Say, oh, God, are you sure? Let me just close the shop for these 2 weeks. Let's do the prayer. Yeah, it's true. No, you can go on vacation. Are you getting my point? He told me that he tries to help them. Some of them, they are owing banks, they are owing loans. At the end of the day, when the whole thing has finished, they now queue up that they want to join seminary. And he knows why they failed. Because, listen, forget MMM Nigeria. Money is not cheap. Is ministry an easy thing? Ministry is dangerous. Ask Pastor Murphy, ask Pastor Kemote. You know why? Most ministers, they don't have supervisor. You need the wisdom of an aunt to do well. Consider her ways and be wise. But if you are working for government, if you don't come, they give you query. If you're a pastor, don't go to your church, nobody's going to give you query. The church will collapse. So people run away. They think that, listen, you know what I'm saying to? Ministry is hard. If you are going to leave business for ministry, better learn the hard life in that business. Because business, you can see how your money is going, how it's coming or refusing to come. In ministry, there's no way of using money to judge whether you are doing well or you are not doing well. You can finish preaching and they beat you. It's true. So if God gives you the opportunity to use what you call secular to prove your faithfulness in life, hold it and use it well. Before you run away from there and say that, after I failed in it, God now called me to ministry. Believe me, even Saul, when God was going to call him, he was succeeding in chasing Peter and Co. He had killed one Christian. He was looking for more. God said, yeah, this guy is doing well. Call him into ministry. I hope you are getting my point. A successful thief has more hope in ministry. The Lord is good. Look, if I continue talking, we won't go home. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just thank the Lord. Did I say anything today? Because sometimes I wonder what you managed to say after all these hours of keeping outdoors, sitting up, looking at you. Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, I commit myself to faithfulness again. Very important. That's the message. That's the prayer. Lord, I commit myself to faithfulness again. I commit myself to faithfulness. Lord, whatever I put my hands to do, let it prosper. Say, Lord, whatever I put my hands to do, let it prosper. That's me. Yeah, that's the prayer point. We'll pray that prayer. After that, we'll rise to our feet and we're out of here. Say, Lord, whatever I commit my hands to do, put my hands to do, let it prosper. Let me reflect you in what I am doing. Say, Lord, let me reflect you in what I am doing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Our Father, we give you thanks again for today. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I said the Lord is good. If you are important in the assignment of God on the earth, give me an amen.
Amen.
If God has given you a gift with which you'll be a blessing to people and reflect his character, give me an amen.
Amen.
If you are going to be faithful in all that you do so as to reflect him properly, say another amen.
Amen.
I declare to you that it is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can you just put up your two hands? Let's receive the blessing of God. I declare to you that you are free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sin will not have dominion over you in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. In the time of adversity, you will be safe.
Amen.
Listen, the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but you will not lack anything good.
Amen.
Anytime they say there are no jobs, look for your own, it's waiting for you.
Amen.
If they say there are no jobs, I say look for your own, it's waiting for you.
Amen.
There are people that God said, no, don't look for a job, create two or three. One for you, two for somebody else. Yeah, that will be done through your hands in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Safety is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you go out, you will be safe.
Amen.
As you come back home, you will be safe.
Amen.
Listen, this is God's word. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Let me say it again. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
No sickness will attach itself to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every affliction has been nailed to the cross of Christ. Therefore, I declare you free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If anywhere is hurting you, maybe you're sick for any reason, just put your hand there quickly. Just the next few seconds. I want to pray. Let's lift God's rod over it. He himself took our infirmities and our diseases. By his stripes, we have been healed.
Amen.
I say to you, by his stripes, you have been healed.
Amen.
Therefore, I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that affliction. I command it to disappear from your body now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen to this. I like to say this all the time. Old age is not a disease. Don't make any excuse for Satan. You forgot something. Say, it's my age. Stop calling trouble for yourself. You are not seeing something. Say, I'm getting old. My eyes are getting... Stop saying things like that. This is God's word. Mark the righteous man. If he's old, he'll still be full of sap.
Amen.
You will still be young and full of sap.
Amen.
Listen, this is God's word to you today. Old age is not a disease.
Amen.
Age is allowed to do only one thing for you. What is that? Make you wise. Only wisdom is age allowed to add to you. And that is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is well with you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. Bless somebody beside you. This is your season of fruitfulness and multiplication. Look for another person.